Daf Nun Daf Samach Hey, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Psachim. Alright, almost. We're actually going to end the parak and start a new one. So I guess I'll start from Yatzdak Kat Rishona, which is two lines from the top. Samach Hey Amad Aleph. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it says Tana. If you remember, the Mishnah mentioned that there were three separate kitot. No matter how many Jews showed up, you always had to have three separate kitot that would come into the Mikdash for the Korban Pesach at three different times, one after the other. So it says Yatzta Karishana. So Tana, we learned he nekreit kat etzlanit. He, in this case, not the first one, but the third one was considered the lazy kat, the lazy group. The halo sagi. My havi lelamavid. That is, you know, what were you going to do without the third group? I mean, what could they have done? Somebody had to be in the third group, because halosagi delavachi. You have to have three groups, and therefore, what could a third group have done? Why should you call them lazy just because they're in third place when you have to have somebody in the third group? So the Gemara says, afiluhachi bailahu luzruze nafshayo. They shouldn't have been last. It's true, they had to split the group into three groups. They had to split all the Jews into three groups. But there's still somebody who showed up in the end and had to be part of the third group, and therefore they're called the lazy group. Kiditanya Rebbe Omer, Eif Shala Olam Belo Basam Uvelo Bursi. The whole world can't survive without a spice, a perfumer, and a hide tanner. That is something that smells really good and something that smells bad. You need both jobs. But Ashrei Mishem Otav Basam, but blessed is the man, or wealthy is the man, or well off is the man whose job is a spice man. Av Oilo Mishem Otav Borsi, and you know, I realize we need a Borsi, but it's a great woe to the person whose job is a tanner. The EF Shar, not only that, but EF Shar Lolam Blo Zacharim, Uvelo Nekevot. The world can't survive without males and without females, but Ashrei Mishem Banav Zacharim. Blessed or wealthy is the man whose sons are male. Oilo lemisha banav nikevot, and woe is to the person who has all daughters. So that I'm not going to touch with the 10-foot pole because I don't want to get in trouble. But that's the basic idea.
He has to get married.
What's that?
He has to get married.
I guess, yeah. Well, today you have to pay for the marriage. Like also because women weren't very educated back 2,000 years ago, so it wasn't a great honor to the man to have women like it was men. Things changed. The other possibility is men don't have to worry about all kinds of things women does. So the father's always worried that his daughter's going to get in trouble. But yeah, I like the other answer. I think what happens in China where people like prefer the males, and they sometimes you know, they prefer males to females, and they can't have that many babies.
Well, but they only have one.
Right. So they sometimes they abort actually. So the female babies. So there were societies. There were societies. Women weren't extremely valuable to society back 2,500 years ago, except in the you know. So to the honor of a man, he preferred to have sons. Okay, and, you know, it doesn't pay to overanalyze it. Kamasei b'chol. So essentially, you're supposed to do during the week is the same thing you're supposed to do when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, except. What it said in the Mishnah is the only thing they didn't do is they washed the floors, and the Chachamim didn't agree with the Kohanim who were washing the floors. So that's what you're doing, going back to the Mishnah. Let me find it in the Mishnah. Where is it in the Mishnah? Yeah, I can't find it in the Mishnah, but that's what it says in the Mishnah. Okay, I'll continue on. Amara Shalob Ratzon Man. Who is the authority for the Chachamim not being happy with the fact that the Kohanim were washing the ground clear of blood? So he says, Amar Chista Shalob Ratzon Rabbi Eliezer. It must have been Eliezer was the one who didn't want them to be washing the ground from the blood. That is, cleaning the ground from the blood. To e rabbanan, because it can't be the rabbanan. Why? Because amri shvutu, because I will tell you that washing the floors is not an isser d'oraita on Shabbat. It's just a shvut. That is, it looks like you're doing the kind of work that you shouldn't be doing on Shabbat because it's not very Shabbat work. But it's not an isser d'oraita. The ain shvut b'mikdash, and according to the rabbanan, there is no prohibition about doing shvut biyom tov. All those things are categorized under shvut, such as sweeping various things. Whatever falls under the shvut law, the drabanan shvut law, they have to act special on Shabbat, so that doesn't apply in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore it can't be the drabanan. Where is Mahi? What exactly is a machloket? Titania, we learned, Echa rachove vahamigabim kigro girot. Whether somebody milks a cow or curdles cheese or presses cheese or curdles milk or presses cheese, and the amount that he presses the cheese is a kigro girot, which means it's usher from the Torah. Also, hamachabeit, somebody who sweeps the floor, vahamarabeit, is somebody who also, I think, wets down the floor a little bit so the dust doesn't come up. The harodeh chalot dvash, and somebody who pulls out honeycombs out of a honey hive, a beehive. So b'shogeg b'shabbat chayiv chatat. If you did it on Shabbat by accident, you chayiv a chatat. Obviously, if you did it mezid, you'd be chayiv mita. Hazid b'yom tov, and on yom tov, if you did it on purpose, loke et arba'im, you get lashed 40 times. Dibri Rebbe Eliezer, v'chacham morim, echod zeh v'echod zeh, inu elam shum shvut. All of those things that you mentioned before, none of them are because they're issur d'oraita, they're all shvut laws. Which is the key one, by the way? The key one was the fact that you were wetting down the floor. That was merabeitz. Why is that important? Because that's more or less the sweeping that was going on by the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, the Chachamim let them do it. Because first of all, unlike Rebbe Eliezer, he doesn't feel any of this is an issur d'oraita. And because it's not an issur d'oraita, it's only an issur shvut, therefore it's no problem doing it in the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, it couldn't have been the Chachamim that told the Kohanim not to do it, even though the Kohanim did it. It must have been Rebbe Eliezer wasn't happy about it, but he got overruled, I suppose. Afilu to Amar Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says no. Afilu to Amar Shalob Ratzon Chacham. It could be Chacham didn't want him to do it. Why? I thought that Chachamim allow Shvut to take place. That is sweeping, cleaning, that type of work. That's not necessarily Raita, but only Usher, because it's the type of work that you do a weekday. I thought they said there's no problem with that in the Beit HaMikdash. So it says no. Rabbi Natan he. It's qualified based on Rabbi Natan's comment. Which why? D'tanya Rabbi Natan Omer Shvut Sricha Hetiru. Shvut that you need in the Beit HaMikdash, that you're allowed to do. But shvut she'ein etzricha, but just to do things that aren't absolutely necessary, such as this wiping of the floor, lo hitiru. And that's up to the two dots. I just want to look at something, exactly what they're referring to. I think it's sweeping the floor of the blood, but I want to make sure that I have it right. Yeah. Madich metahazara. They would wash down or scrub down the outer area where the korban was given. So that is the law. Okay, two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Hayam Mimalei. They would fill up a cup. What is that talking about? So going back, it doesn't explain much in the Mishnah. It says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Hayam Mimalei Midam Hataarovet. They would fill up blood from the blood of that which is mixed up. So we'll have to see what that means. And now we're going to look at the Gemara. Satani Rebbe Yehuda Amar Kos Hayam Malei Midama Tarovet. What does that mean that they used to fill it up from the mixed up blood? She'im Yishapech Damo Shelechad Mehem Nimtza Zemach Shiro. So essentially what would happen is Dam Tarovet was the blood that was spilled all over the floor. There was blood everywhere. What happens with the korban is you're supposed to take the blood out of the animal and you throw it on the Mizbeach as far as Zrika. If you drop it, if it falls, then your korban is invalid. You can't bring a korban. So what they would do is they'd have this cup of blood, which they could use to mix up with the blood from the floor, and that blood from, and then what they could do is they could throw it onto the mizbeach, and then it would be considered a good sacrifice. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what it is. That is, what they would do is they take the cup and they dip it onto all the blood on the floor and they'd lift it up. What was in that? What was in that was, since you would spill, if you didn't spill your sacrifice blood, it wouldn't make a difference because you could just take your sacrifice's blood, throw it on the altar. If you spilled out your sacrifice's blood, that would render the whole thing not okay. So what they would do is, they would take a cup and they'd dip it into all the mix-up that they've got on the floor, the ground covered in blood, and some of that cup must have a little bit of the blood in it from your animal, and then they would throw it onto his back, and that would be considered a good korban. Okay? So nimtza zeh machshiro. So amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'halo lo nitkabel b'kli. That's no good, because the blood that spilled on the floor from your animal, you're telling me that some of the blood of your animal you managed to pick up with this cup, but it never went into the kli that you're supposed to do, a special kli that you're supposed to spill from the blood onto the mizbeach. So if it's not part of the kli, then it's spilled right on the ground, so it's not good anyway. It's pusel blood, and if the blood is all pusel, the korban's pusel. So Gemara says, mina yade. How do you v'halo lo nitkabel, please? So the Gemara says, mina yade. How do you know that it's not? One second. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'halo lo nitkabel b'kli. So they ask him, mina yade. How do you know that it never made it into a kli? How do you know that it spilled directly on the floor? So the Gemara says, alhaki kamale, shema lo nitkabel b'kli. It's not that the thing, if I was sure that it spilled on the ground completely, then you're right, the whole blood would be puzzled, there's nothing I could do about it. But here's a situation where I'm not sure if it ever made it into the kli. Again, we have two klis here. We have the cup that you pick stuff up with afterwards, and we have the kli where it's supposed to go from the throat of the cow to the kli, and from the kli to the mizbeach. So if it made it from the kli and then spilled on the floor, then theoretically you could pick it up. If it didn't, it went right to the floor, then you couldn't. So we're saying this is in a case where we don't know whether it had gotten into the kli or not, and therefore when you pick it up, it should be okay. So Amar lahem, afani lo amarti, ella benitkabel b'kli. I only saying what I'm saying when you know for sure that the blood that you just picked up on the floor, in fact, made it into a kli at some point. The Gemara says, "Mina yada." How do you know it made it into the kli? How can you be sure? So the Gemara says, "Kohanim's reason hang. Kohanim, they know how to get. That is, they're not going to let things spill on the right floor. They're going to quickly whip the kli directly under the neck of the cow, and they're going to not the cow, the goat or the sheep, and therefore you know that it's made it into the kli. It's a sure bet. He's reason, but the Gemara then says, "Wait a second. They're so handy." In being able to pick up the blood as it flows out of the throat, the ma'im mishtapech. What is it falling on the ground in the first place? The very fact that it falls tells you that they're not those reason. So the Gemara says, no, agav's reason tayu de'avdi mishtapech. That's why it's spilled. They're so fast in getting the kli under them, then they pull the kli away to take it and throw it on the mizbeach. That's why there's some stuff spilling on the ground. It's not to say that they weren't. They were zaris. But they weren't so zaris that they wouldn't let a drop fall. In fact, their very zrizut caused the blood to fall. But you can't tell me that they weren't zaris to the point that they didn't get a kli under the neck of the cow when it was spilling its blood. Okay? Should I continue on?
Yes.
The Gemara says, wait, v'halo tam si murav bo. You got a problem. It's got dam tamsit. And therefore, dam tamsit, if it's mixed up, should make the dam that you picked up with the kos pusel. Now, what is dam tamsit? There are two types of blood. There is arterial blood, and there is, well, let's say non-pumping blood. When you first shecht an animal, all the arterial blood is supposed to pump right out. It's only that arterial, well, we'll see, there's machloket, but theoretically only that arterial blood is the one that's supposed to be used for the mizbeach. What's the rest of the blood? The rest of the blood is called dam evarim. That is, it's the blood that's in the various systems, and eventually it squeezes out. It pours out, but it's not pumping like you do when you first shecht an animal. So he's saying, listen, you got a problem, because even though you scooped a cup, and even though some of the animal or the blood of the animal may be in there, what you also have mixed up with is clearly the blood that's pouring out of all the animals. That's not pumping out of all the animals. It's not the primary gush. But it's, you know, the animals are dead and they bleed all over the floor. That's just, that's what they do. So the Gemara says, no. Rabba l'taymet, Rabbi Yehuda l'taymet, da'amar dama tamsit, dama al yehu. He says that blood, even though it's not pumping blood, it's not arterial blood, is still good blood for a korban. D'tanya, well, I don't want to say that. All I want to say is that it's considered real blood. D'tanya dama tamsit ba'azhara. According to one opinion, dama tamsit, non-arterial blood, if you eat it, you only get a warning. That is, you're only over an iser derabbanan, if I'm not mistaken. It's a very strange word, azhara, a warning. It sounds like it's not even an iser derabbanan. It's like the rabbanan come over and say, you shouldn't have done that. By the way, what's interesting is we empty the blood out of the meat completely, and that's because when you cook the blood back into the meat, you have a problem because you're cooking the blood into the meat. But theoretically, believe it or not, if you take a cow and shecht it, and you don't have to salt it, believe it or not, if you eat it raw, if I take a chunk of cow and it's not been salted, I could put it in my mouth and eat it. There's no problem with that whatsoever. It's only when you cook the meat that you have to, it's only because you're going to cook the meat, because the blood's going to go back inside. That's called dam, I forget exactly the phrase, it's called dam hazaz mi makom makom. When blood moves around from place to place, that's not okay. But while it's simply sitting there on the raw meat and it's not cooked inside the meat, you can actually eat it. There's no curse, there's no issur d'rabbanan.
But it's inside the meat.
That's true, but it hasn't moved around from place to place. There's something about the fact that during the cooking process, as the meat moves around from place to place inside, that's an issur d'rabbanan. The only issur d'oraita is to eat the arterial blood. That you get kareid for. The blood that we get rid of is called dam ivarim. It's the dam of the muscles, but since when you cook it, it moves throughout, it circulates inside the meat, so it's issur d'rabbanan. The only blood which is not issur is the dam ivarim, the muscular blood, which is on a raw piece of meat that you're not planning to cook. So it's inside and it's outside, but it's not going to be cooked into the actual meat, and therefore, theoretically, you could just eat it. There's no issue whatsoever. You don't have to salt it at all. Of course, nobody eats raw meat that's bloody, but theoretically, if you did eat raw meat that's bloody, it's called dam tamsit, and it's not an issue. There's no issue there. At least according to some things. We'll see this in my clothes. Rabbi Yehuda tamei damar dam tamsit dam ayuhu. Detanya dam tamsit ba'azara. Rabbi Yehuda omer bihi karet. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, dam tamsi, you get kareis just like you do for arterial blood, what's called dam chayim. But one opinion, which if I'm not mistaken, we paskin like, is that you only get a warning for eating raw blood. There's not even an isser drabanan, if I'm not mistaken. So Gemara says, hamar, Rabbi Lezer Moda, Rabbi Yehuda linyan kapara. So it's true when it comes to eating dam tamsi, that Rabbi Yehuda says you have to treat it just like arterial blood, and therefore it's aser bekaret. But when it comes to kapara, it doesn't work. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say it doesn't work. Shenemar ki adam hu b'nefesh, the blood is the soul or the life force. Yichaper, that will atone for the person. So the Gemara says, dam shan nefesh yotzeipo. It's only the blood that the soul pulls out of. That is the arterial blood that's pumping the life force out of the animal. Soul's not a good word. Life force a little better. Bo mechaper, dam shein, an efesh yotzei bo eino mechaper. But if it's not arterial blood, if it's not that pumping blood, then it's not mechaper. So how could, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you could eat that type of blood, who says that you could use it as a korban? Elar Rabbi Yehuda, l'taimei. Rabbi Yehuda goes according to reason. Damer ein dam mevatel dam. It's not that dam tamsit by itself is good. It's not good. But when dam tamsit mixes up into dam chayim, the real blood, it doesn't ruin the real blood. It sort of adds on. Even though it's like an artificial sweetener, so to speak, it doesn't ruin the main course, which is the blood itself that you're going to spill onto his back. Tanya, amalem rabbi yudal chachamim divichem lama pokakim et azara. So according to you people who say that they're allowed to sweep away the blood, I think. Hold on a second.
Blood was not collected from the courtyard floor on Erev Pesach.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So essentially, Bishlam Adidi Kol Shalo Yatzak. I'm looking at Rashi. Bishlam Adidi Kol Shalo Yatzak Da Kol Dama Nishbach. So according to me, it makes sense that they put up, what happens is there was a drainage hole, mm-hmm. and they stuck up the drainage hole so the thing would get like knee deep in water. And that's been according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds dam tamsit is not a problem, and therefore you can collect the blood with a cup and you can throw it on the mizbeach. But according to you chachamim, who say that you're not allowed to use dam tamsit, that if you add dam tamsit into regular dam, so what use is it having the what's the use of having the azara filled with gargantuan levels of blood if you can't use that blood anyway? So I'm saying they hold that dam tamsit is not okay. So the minute I scoop up my cup of dam tamsit along with the dam chayim, it's possible I can't use it. If it's possible I can't use it, the whole korban's possible I can't use it. So I don't understand. So what's the point if they're not going to use the cup trick anyway? So the Gemara says, Amalo shevachu l'vnei Aaron shehilchu al arkovotehem bidam. It's an honor for Kohanim to walk up to their knees in blood. V'hakachayitz, doesn't the blood separate them from the ground? Because the Kohanim always have to be touching the ground of the Azaraz. And it says, lachu, v'enochotzeitz. If it's wet, so the feet get all the way to the bottom. Kiditanya, hadam v'adiova chalava dvashi v'eshim chotashim. If you have dried blood or dried ink or dried fats or dried honey, then you step on those, then you can't do a korban, then you can't be makar the korban, the Kohen. But lachim v'enochotzeitz. But if it's wet, you have no problem. Ha, kat mitvashi, but wait a second. They're getting all spoiled. I mean, the vestments are becoming bloody. And apparently there's a halacha that says you can't, I'm sorry, Vitanya, we learned how you begad the mitush tashim, v'avad avoda psula. You can't look like a schlep, essentially, or be grotesque and do a korban. That's not good. Avoda is not good. V'chi tema dimidalule, maybe they lifted that up. A dali means a bucket. So that's like where you lift up a bucket from a well. Comes dalulahu, they lift up the bucket, l'may nahu. Vahatanya, that can't be, because mido bad, what does mido bad mean? It means mido kimidato, that is the badim, the vestments were always down to the floor. It wasn't practical to lift them up. You had to serve with them with floor length vestments. Shlomar says, why? Shalo yichzar v'lo yivater So you won't, and you can't have less than full length, and you can't have more than it. It can't be dragging, and it can't be knee length. It can't be a short skirt. But so the Gemara says, no. But halacha evarim lekeves the lav avodahi. You would be right. They wouldn't be these kohanim that we're talking about that were full of blood. They weren't the ones doing the korbanot. All they were doing was bringing the pieces of the lamb, and that's not called avoda. And therefore, it's not avoda. They could lift up their skirts all the way up to the knees and not get dirty. No, that. Or it didn't even matter. It didn't make a difference if it got dirty since they weren't doing the real avoda. So where it says, Vilo, you tell me that's not avoda? Not true. V'hami dibayi kahuna avoda, from the very fact that only a Kohen could do the job of moving the Kevis parts to the Mizbeach, it has to be avoda. If it wasn't avoda, any shlub could do it. He titanya v'hikri v'kohen et hakol ha-Mizbeacha. Zu holech et evarim la Kevis. So that includes a person who's just taking the pieces of the keves to the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, "Ela b'holecher etim b'maracha." These kohanim that were lifting up their skirts, they were only the ones bringing the wood for the fire. Delav avodehi b'holecher evarim. But b'holecher evarim a keves b'holecher dam miyahechiyazli. So I said, "Fine, I accept the idea that if you have this group of kohanim and all they're doing is feeding the fires, so either they don't care whether their skirts are dirty because they're not doing avoda, or they don't care whether they lift their skirts, they lift their vestments. Fine." But you still got your whole Azaras filled with water. So how are you going to get the guys that are doing the Korbanot or doing the Kevis part moving? So the Gemara says, Misagi Aitz to be. They're standing on planks. According to Rashi, the planks were actually built into the walls, and therefore it wasn't considered a separation between the Kohan's feet and the floor of the Azara, because the planks were permanently built in for walking to the Korbanot. So I hope they didn't slip. All right. Ketzad Tolim L'mashitin. So we had this a little bit about whether how you put up the animal, you're told that, and mafshi, and then you skin it. So the verse says, Karu vahotziyu et imuriv nitanam b'megis lahakimam. So what did you do? You ripped it and you took out the innards, the imurav, I guess, are the innards that you're makriv, whatever parts inside the body that you sacrifice. Nitanam b'megis, you put them in some type of, I'm not sure what a megis is, probably some kind of, megis actually is to melt, but I assume it's something like
a bowl,
l'hakdiram, in order to burn them. So the word says, atu hu gufe hami mekatele, you're telling me that the guy himself who does all the skinning, he's the one who does the burning, no, l'hakdiram, to cause them, agav, the mizbeach. All he's doing is getting them ready to be burnt at a later time. He doesn't do it himself, he gives it to somebody else. Yatz the kat rishona, the first kat goes out. Tana kol echad echad notim pischol boro. So what happens when the first kat goes out? What do they do with the meat that they have? So the answer is they take their meat and they put it in their skins and in their satchels of meat holders. Umafshil la'acharav, and they throw it around their back. Amar Rav Ilush says ta'ayut, and Rashi says these are sochim yishmelim. They carry it on their backs just like the Arab merchants do. What's interesting, of course, because Arab ladies today, if you go to Israel, they carry things on their heads. But I guess back then they used to have backpacks. Okay? That is, that's the first part. Oh, we have 10 minutes. I'll keep going. So, Mr. Marathi is not coming anything?
I don't.
okay? Should I keep going? Okay. It's actually, the Gemara is pretty straight, compared to last week, the Gemara is pretty straightforward.
Oh, yeah.
So last week was something. Eilu Dvarim B'Pesach, so a new parak. Very nice. Eilu Dvarim B'Pesach Dochen at the Shabbat. These things on Pesach, that is, vis-a-vis the Korban, are pushed off, that is, you could do them even though they're Malachot on Shabbat. Shechitato, the slaughtering of the animal. Zurikat Damo, the throwing of the blood. Michoi Kravav, we'll find out later, that means the washing of the innards. The haktarat chelvav, and burning the fats, aval tzliato, but the sizzling of the meat, v'hadachat kravav, and wiping its kravav. I'm not sure what the difference is between michoy and hadachat kravav. Just a second. The Gemara says, Rashi says, michoy, the Gemara will explain this, keep it from smelling. Hadachat kravav, I guess, is just a wash. Oh, you know what you probably had to do? Michoy was probably you know what it was? It was probably squeezing out the
whatever was inside.
Yeah, exactly right. So michoy you could do. I guess the Gemara is going to explain, because if you don't do it, the whole thing's going to smell up. You can't do the korban, as opposed to the hadachat kavav that you couldn't do. Einan dochen et haShabbat haKavato vaHavato michutz l'tchum, putting it on your back and bringing it outside the tchum, from outside the tchum. The chatichat yabalto, and also cutting off its yabel. It is a yeah, I guess so. Or more like a yabel is what you get when you wear too tight shoes. What's that called? And you get like this bump on your skin if you wear your shoes too tight. I forget the word is. It's not exactly a wart. It's like yeah, maybe there's a wart in this case. So in those cases, ain dochin et Shabbat. You don't push off Shabbat. What's the story, by the way? Yabelet, you can't bring a korban with yabelet, but it's not a permanent mum. So if you cut it off, you can bring the korban. But you are not allowed to bring these things outside, from outside the tchum into the Beit HaMikdash, and you're not allowed to cut off its yabalot on Shabbat in the Beit HaMikdash either. Rabbi Elazar Omer, dochin. Rabbi Elazar says, no, you are in fact allowed to do these two things, to bring the korban from outside the tchum, and also to cut off its yabalot on Shabbat. I'm Rabbi Elazar. The halodinu, Rabbi Elazar is justifying his opinion. Ma im shchita shehi mishum malacha dochet Shabbat. If you could do shchita, which is a malacha, and push off Shabbat for the shchita of the Korban Pesach, elu shehi mishum shvut lo yidchu at the Shabbat, then all the other things which are only for shvut reasons, certainly you push off the Shabbat. So Amalo Rabbi Yehoshua, yom tov yochiach. No, you're not right. You cannot prove that just because there's an iser, and that you could do that iser of shchita on Shabbat, then all Shabbat becomes okay. Why? Because it says yochiach shehitiru bo mishum malachet milacha. On Yom Tov you're allowed to do malacha when it comes to food. Va'asur bo mishum shvut. And even though you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you're still not allowed to do any shvut. So it proves that kal v'chomer is not good. Amalei Rabbi Lezer, maze Yoshua. What kind of proof is that from Yom Tov Yoshua? Maraya reshut l'mitzvah. It's totally different. Here on Pesach, I'm talking about slaughtering, I'm talking about shechita. You're not allowed to do shechita. We're letting you do shechita, and therefore we should let you do shvut also. You're telling me where the Torah actually went out of its way to say you're allowed to do cooking on Shabbat. You can't prove something that you can do, a reshut, to a mitzvah, which is something that you can't do. You see, you follow what I'm saying? There's a kal v'chomer, it wouldn't work from something that you should do, cooking, to something that you can't do drabana, which is shvut. But here by Shabbat it is a kal v'chomer, because I'm talking about something that the Torah doesn't want me to do, which is shchita, and I'm still allowed to do. So therefore kal v'chomer, if only the rabbis don't want me to do it, or if it's only for shvut reasons, then certainly I'm allowed to do it. So your Yom Tov case doesn't make sense. So hey, Rabbi Akiva of Amar, Hazaat tochiyah, I'll prove the whole thing from the sprinkling of the blood. Shehi mishum mitzvah, it's a commandment to do such a thing. Vihi mishum shvut, and it is also the reason why you can't sprinkle the blood is because of shvut reasons. It's not because it's a malacha. Ve'eino docha et haShabbat, and we know that hazah does not get pushed off Shabbat, even though shchita does push off the Shabbat. So af ata al titmal elu, so don't be surprised about the other things that you're doing, bringing in the korban from outside the tchum and cutting off the yabalot. Sha'af al pi shehein mishum mitzvah vehein mishum shvut lo yidchu haShabbat. Rabbi Akiva says you can't prove the kal v'chomer because I have a case of hazah, which is also shvut, and we know that's aser. So therefore, just because Shechita is okay does not mean that Shvut is okay by Hazar. And if Shvut is not okay by Hazar, the sprinkling of the blood, then may also not be okay of bringing the animal. By the way, it's something interesting to note. The bringing of the animal is not an issue of Daraita because you're bringing it on your back. I'm sorry, excuse me. Normally carrying is an issue of Daraita. And here we're treating it, we're wondering whether you could do it on whether you're allowed to do it on a Shabbat, which is Erev Pesach, because it's only a Shvut. How's it possible that carrying is only a Shvut? So the answer is, they're carrying the Sed, the little tiny Sed, on their back, but Sed could walk by themselves anyway. A Sed could walk, and therefore it's not an issue of Daraita. It's not an issue of Daraita to carry something that can move itself. The problem was that these little Seds couldn't walk all the way. It was a far, far trip. And therefore there's an issue of Shvut to carry a Sed on your back, because you're doing hard work on Shabbat. Is an issur of Shavuot, you can't do something like that. But it's not an issur d'oraita, just like you could carry, I can carry a kid, I can lift up a kid on Shabbat, and I can lift up my son. What's that?
Picking up and putting down.
It's not a problem with something that moves by itself.
Okay.
A stroller is a problem, but a baby, if I'm just, well, a baby is a problem also, I think, because a baby can't move, so I'm not sure. But if I have a 3-year-old that can walk by himself, I could pick it up, I could pick him up and walk 4 amot, if I'm not mistaken, ask your local rabbi, but if I'm not mistaken, you can. Why? Because it's certainly not issur d'oraita anyway, because they can move by themselves. So too, this Sed that you're bringing in, it moves by itself, it's not dead yet, and therefore it's not issur d'oraita. Had it been issur d'oraita, none of this would make sense, because we're trying to prove that it's okay because of Shvut. If it was really Hotzah, really carrying, then it would be issur d'oraita. Anyway, let me continue on. I'll continue on, I mean. Shim Yishu Malacha Dochet Hashem. Oh, so Amalo Rabbi Eliezer Va'aleha Idan. I don't agree with your very theory about Hazar. That is Rabbi Kiva's theory. It was that Hazar, which is a Shvut, is an Issa Drabana. Is Usher on Shabbat when it falls out on when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat. But who says that's true? I mean, that's a lan idan. I disagree with that very issue. Ma'im shchita shehim mishum malacha dochet haShabbat. Just like shchita that is an iser malacha pushes off the Shabbat, you can do the shchita korban pesach on Shabbat. Hazar shehim mishum shmud. It is dochet haShabbat. Your theory would be good, Rabbi Akiva, if I believed you that hazar was not okay. But I disagree. For the same reason, I think cutting off the warts on an animal is okay, and carrying a sow on your back is okay. For the same reason, I think hazar is okay. I think you're wrong about this very issue. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, O Chiluf, how do you know it's not the opposite? Ma'im hazar shehi mishum shvut in a docha to Shabbat, shchita shehi mishum malacha in a docha. I'll turn the whole tables around you. I'm telling you that hazar is not okay, and now that I told you hazar is okay, I'm going to tell you shchita is not okay also from your saying kal v'chomer. You want to pull kal v'chomers on me, I'll pull a kal v'chomer on you. If hazar is not okay, then shchita is not okay, which of course is very concerning. So how your makom korban pesach? Which is what the Gemara says. I'm a lover of the Lezer, Akiva. How can you say you can't do Shechita on Erev Pesach, which falls on Shabbat? It says, B'moado. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. You have to do it in its time, on the 14th, whether it's Shabbat or whether it's Yom Tov. How can you dare tell me that you don't do Shechita? So I'm a lover, Rabbi. Rabbi, I'm trying to show you something. Havali mo'ed le'elu kimo'ed l'shechita. You just proved my point. You're right. There is a pasuk that tells you you're allowed to do Shechita. It's called mo'ed. But all the other things you're going to tell me are okay? You can't do kal v'chomers with me. The only reason why shechita is okay to push off Shabbat is because shechita is a special case, because it has the din of moed, but everything else you should do before Shabbat and not on Shabbat. Chal amar Rabbi Akiva, kol malacha she'efshal lasotam erev Shabbat, eino docha Shabbat. If you could do it before Shabbat, you can't blow off Shabbat. Shechita is the one case, she'efshal lasotam erev Shabbat, and therefore it's docha to Shabbat. Special case by shechita. So he says, essentially, his point is, take your kal v'chomer and go away.